Happy Wednesday, Wildcat Nation, and welcome back to Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. The lineup for today's episode features Arizona track and field sophomore Jade Brown, Arizona gymnastics rising senior Emma Strum, and Arizona baseball juniors Brendan Summerhill and Aaron Walton. Leading us off today is one of the 16 Arizona track and field athletes who will be headed to Eugene, Oregon next week for the Outdoor Track and Field NCAA Championships. She took first place at the NCAA West first round this past weekend and currently holds the program record for the outdoor 100-meter dash. Jade Brown joins us now. Jade, welcome to Wildcat Wednesdays, and congratulations on this past weekend and punching your ticket to Outdoor Track and Field NCAA Championships.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so what was that feeling like winning your heat and then getting handed that giant ticket?
Honestly, it felt really good. I feel like I've been working really hard and doing what I need to do at practice. Going into the meet, I tried to just be less anxious and just kind of focus on my training, listen to what Coach Reen has been telling me to do. One of my biggest things with like racing is to just relax and just focus on the things I've been doing, because I work really hard at practice. I always make sure to talk to my coach so we're on the same page. She always helps me get through stuff when it comes to mental battles, physical battles. We literally work hand in hand. So I did physically run the race by myself, but I felt like mentally I had her like in the back of my head throughout the whole race. So like the second I crossed the line and I seen that like I made it and I won my heat and I got the ticket, I was like, oh my God, we did it. Like not I did it, I was like, we did it. And I was so happy.
I know, I love that. Tell us more about your relationship with her, because I've seen all season long as you're breaking records, clocking in these fast times, you're celebrating with her afterwards just immediately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So coming into college, I have only ever been coached by one woman coach. There's really not a lot of female coaches, like just in general. So like it was really nice to have one, just to have like that connection with her one-on-one. She does have kids, so it's like you kind of get like the mother, the coach, the friend, you get everything like in one and combined. And it's like I feel like she's there for me with everything, like when it's on the track, off the track. So it's like once I'm done and I do a good race, I'm celebrating because I'm like, okay, I did it, but she helped me through so much just to get me there. So it's like we have to celebrate. So immediately after I cross the line, I'm always looking for her. I'm like, oh my God, we did it. Like, look at us, we did it. It's just like a good connection. Like, she's an amazing coach, a beautiful person. She has helped me through so much things, whether it's on the track, off the track, school, etc.
No, I love that. You get that vibe talking with her too. Just like you said, I think motherly is a perfect word to describe her. I want to go day by day, because for those who don't know, the NCAA Regionals in College Station was a four-day event. Your first day of competition for you was on day two. You ran the 100 and then the 200. So with that 100, you clocked in, not only did you win your heat, but you clocked in a season best time for yourself and a program record too. What was your mindset as you lined up for that race?
Honestly, going into the race, I was just looking for, I don't want to say an opportunity, but I kind of went in and I was just like, okay, I've got this. I've been training for this. I'm ready. I'm prepared. I've got all the blocks in place. I just need to relax and execute. So that's really what I was focusing on. And the way NCs is for track, the first round, it's top three. So the first three people that win their heat, and then they take like the next six. So if you get top three, you get an automatic qualify to go to the next round. So I'm like, okay, I'm pretty sure I got this. And like going through the race, I was just trying to relax, because the way that I am, I'll get up and get anxious and then just start losing form and everything. And I just mainly focused on relaxing. That whole meet, I was just like, I need to relax because I got this. That was really just the whole big picture, just trying to relax and stay calm. It was a really long meet, because, you know, 4 days is a lot. Mm-hmm. But the good thing is it was like boys are first, then girls, then boys and girls. So the days that I wasn't competing, I did have like practice, like a shakeout. I did like some strides and stretching, and I got treatment. I just had to take care of my body in between those days so I could, you know, get ready to execute for the next following day. It wasn't too bad, though. Like, it was really nice. And the weather was good, too. It was humid, of course, but, like, it was really good weather.
Will that be kind of the same setup for Eugene in NCAA championships? Will you guys have multiple days of competition with rest in between?
Yeah, it's basically the same thing. Honestly, it's the exact same setup, just like the boy, girl, and then, like, we just get a day in between.
And then that final day for you, like I mentioned, you not only qualified for NCAAs, but you won it. Just take us again. I know you were talking about Coach Green and that emotion, but getting handed that ticket, was that something you've always dreamed of?
Honestly, yes. It was just a really big accomplishment for me, especially because my freshman year, well, obviously we were in a different conference, but at PAX, I didn't make it past PAX. Now, I feel like that was like a part of my drive too. I was like, I feel like I deserve to be here. I feel like I belong in Oregon. So I'm gonna come out here and race and show that I belong to be there because I feel like I deserve to be there too. So once I got it, I was just like ecstatic. I was beyond happy. Like if I could start jumping up and down immediately, I would have done that. I was so happy.
Okay, a question I've always had is there just one ticket or do you guys get to keep a ticket? What is it?
We don't get to keep the tickets, sadly. They're kind of just like props for us to take pictures with, okay. Just like we have them. And then our photographers are allowed to go around after and just like take pictures of us. I wish we could keep them, but we can't. There's like two or three big ones that everybody can like take turns taking pictures with them though.
And then going back to day one, as I mentioned, it was a program record time at 11:05. But you've been breaking program records and shattering just school records all season long. What has been key to you just to elevate your sprinting this season?
Honestly, I would say it's definitely mindset. I'm a short sprinter, so a lot of my races, they're like you snap your fingers and the race is just like so quick. There's not a lot of time for you to think. So the main things that like I always focus on is just like, what can I do on my own? I don't have to think about too much, which is muscle memory. And that's a lot of the stuff that we do, not only on the track, but also in the weight room. Coach Ben has us doing so many strength exercises to just strengthen certain parts of our body so they just do it on their own. So being able to have that in the weight room and then use it out on the track to then execute my races, it's like a domino effect. Like everything just kind of leads onto the other thing and it places together really well. Like it's very good because the 100 is such a quick race. Like you blink and the race is over. So I really rely on relaxation, muscle memory, and then just letting my body do what it needs to do.
Yeah, I had Esther, a consultant, on the podcast last week, and something I asked her was what her pre-meet routine is. Do you have something like that where you have to go step by step before your race?
Yes, mine is like, okay, so here's what I do. So when I wake up in the morning, I don't know why, but I always have to eat fruit that day in the morning. It's just such a light thing to have on your stomach. It's not too heavy. It's not too much. It's not really sweet. It's like I won't feel like sick or anything. It's just perfect. When I'm getting ready, I always listen to music. Because, you know, when you listen to music, you're relaxing. You're in a good vibe. You're just, like, chilling. So I listen to some music. I always, always, always get a sandwich. I always get a sandwich because it has the bread. It's filling. So it keeps me, like, it keeps something in my stomach because you don't want to like get hungry in between races. That's not good. In between races, you do need to eat something though. It's hard to try to eat in between like running and all that. So I'll do like applesauce or like it's like a squeeze cup. It's like a smoothie thing.
Yes,
I don't know if you guys, yeah, I'll usually get one of those. Just something I can just like drink so I don't have to chew and like anything. And then I always like, if we can, there are some meets we can't use headphones, some we can. If we can, I have on my headphones while I warm up just to, like, keep me in a good space and a good vibe. And then, honestly, just, like, making jokes and laughing with my teammates throughout warm-ups because I like to stay in a positive manner before I go into my race. Like, I don't want to go into anything mad or upset. So I just try to keep myself in a good vibe, good mood, good space. And then that's really just the whole routine, just trying to keep myself up and happy and in a good space.
And then another question I had for you is you're from Florida. And so do you spend the summers here training or do you go home ever and continue your training there?
It's a little different because it really depends on where I am. Like last year, since I was a freshman, I was able to try out for under 20s. So I stayed a little longer because tryouts was a little bit later. And then I stayed here to train for a little bit, and then I went home because we didn't have to compete until August. So I went home. Coach Green sent me my workouts to do, so I just did them at home with my old high school coach. And then I came back on campus a little earlier just so I could get a good session in with her so she could see where I was looking at, what we need to fix before traveling. For this summer, it'll probably be the same aspect, but I am going to be running a few meets throughout the summer, so this will be a little different. I'm still going to compete a little bit and then shut it down at the end of summer.
Awesome. Well, best of luck this next week. You guys head out Monday for Eugene. We'll be cheering you on, and good luck with the rest of your races this summer. Thanks for being on the podcast today, Jade.
Of course. Thank you so much.
The annual Big 12 spring business meetings were held this past week in Orlando, Florida, featuring discussions between university presidents and chancellors, athletic directors, and head coaches from across the conference. Gymcat Emma Strome was also in attendance for those meetings and is hopping on the podcast now to recap her experience.
Emma Strome, welcome to the Wildcat Wednesday. You are fresh off Big 12 meetings, I guess spring meetings in Orlando. So first, can you just kind of walk us through what that is like for you as an athlete to be a part of those big meetings and what they were all about?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me on. It's an absolute honor to be here. But I have had the opportunity now for the last two summers to go and be a part of some of the Big 12 meetings. And last summer, just to take you back a little bit, I was co-president of SAC my junior year. And at that meeting last year, it was our first time in the new conference, getting to meet all of the student athletes. And we really came together as a group and we wanted to be very innovative and see what we could come up with to really take SAC and our Big 12 leadership roles to the next level as a group. And we all came up with the idea of creating another leadership group within the Big 12. And that group was called LIFT, and that stands for Leadership Innovative Future Teams. And what that group focuses on is more of policies and the business behind college athletics. And as we all know, right now, it is just a crazy landscape out there. And so what this group does is it really comes together and advocates for our student athletes in front of our athletic directors, Big 12 commissioners. And so I had the honor of being SAC co-president last year, but I'm very fortunate to now be one of two student athletes at Arizona to be a LIFT representative. And so this past week, I had the opportunity to go down to Orlando, Florida, and meet with that group for the first time. And again, we came together really focused on some topics that student athletes are passionate about, whether that's what resources are available for mental health for all of our student athletes if injuries happen, and what does it look like right now with NIL, and what financial literacy programs are available for student athletes. There's just so much to advocate for. We as a group worked really hard and presented those ideas in front of the Big 12 commissioner, and I'm excited to hear soon what this group is going to do. But this last week was really cool, just getting to be surrounded by all of the presidents, athletic directors, faculty athletic representatives, senior women administrators. It was amazing to be there and be surrounded by the best. So I'm excited to get to work this year with the new group.
That I feel like would be so nerve-wracking. Were you nervous at all to be in that room and have a seat at the table?
You know, not too much. I really take deep pride in the role I'm in, and just the fact that I'm able to sit there and be the face that is able to advocate for all of the fellow student athletes at Arizona. I take that with a lot of pride, and I just want to stand up and do what's best for them. So a little bit nerve-wracking, but not too much.
Well, you were super involved in SAC, obviously, as co-president. Did you come into Arizona like your freshman or sophomore season going, this is something I want to do, or did it just fall into your lap? Like, how does one, number one, get involved in SAC? And then number two, how does one become president?
Yeah, absolutely. So after my freshman year, I learned a little bit about what SAC was. And that was through one of my teammates at the time who was a senior, and her name was Libby. She was such a great representative for SAC my freshman year. And that just really inspired me to get involved, see what it was all about. And she really pushed me to do that and gave me the courage. And so I applied, I interviewed, and for my sophomore year, I was on the exec board for health and wellness. And I had such a great time doing that because I'm really passionate about that field. And I just decided, why not try and take on an even bigger role for the next year? And so then that's when my junior year, I was SAC co-president. So I think every year you just kind of, you learn a little bit more and it all just kind of happens. It comes together and what's meant to be will be.
I probably should have started with this first, but maybe for any casual listeners out there, can you just briefly tell us what SAC is? And then also, what are your favorite parts about SAC?
SAC stands for Student Athlete Advisory Committee. And basically what that role is you're advocating for your student athletes. You are at the face of it. Every team has two reps, and you are just in charge of coming together as a group once every 3 weeks and discussing what topics are happening on campus, what's happening in the conference at a national level, and just advocating.
I will plug myself. I was a 2-year rep for softball back in my day. So
Yes, awesome.
I remember meeting like a lot of different athletes and really getting to know them on a personal level. I feel like that was a huge part of my college experience. So obviously, I know you will recommend it for any young athletes that are listening if they can get involved. I think it's a huge thing, not only to grow yourself, but also like, hello, resume plug. It's awesome.
Yeah, I love everyone that I've been able to meet through it. Obviously, you're with your teammates on your team every day, and it's really great to branch out a little bit. It's a great opportunity from all aspects.
Well, you've been killing it as a SAC president. You're always speaking at all the events. You've been so great in that role. So,
Thank you.
yeah, keep doing what you're doing.
I appreciate it.
We'll pivot a little bit and talk some gym cats. Let's talk some gymnastics.
Yes.
What a season that you guys had. I mean, historic season, Big 12 runner-up, highest finish in a long time for the program, Sweet 16. Coach Court and Elena are getting conference honors. Can you just give me maybe one, I mean, maybe one of those are your favorite, but one moment from the season as a team, as a collective, that you really were like, wow, this is amazing, your favorite type of moment. And then also on the flip side, maybe give us a personal moment, something that really is just singular to you about this season, because you were huge. You had some amazing floor routines and you were great on beam. So it was fun to watch you and the Gym Cats. But yeah, tell us about those moments.
Thank you. It was absolutely magical. And I'd say if I had to pick a moment altogether, I mean, probably even from a personal level, but with my team, like when we qualified to the Sweet 16, that was so magical. Like it was picture perfect, and it's a goal you set at the beginning of the year, and just to be standing there and have it happen and just being able to hug your teammates, cry, like just all the emotions. It was truly beautiful and something I'll never forget. But we're ready to take on more for the next year. Like if I had one word to describe it, it'd be magic.
I mean, the footage was, I'm sure you've watched it a million times. I feel like I've watched it a million times where it's so dramatic. Gymnastics is so dramatic. You never know what the score is going to be. You're thinking maybe you do know, but you don't know. And then all of a sudden that score comes up and you guys all just lose it. That was what it's all about.
Yes. It's a subjective sport for sure, and it's a very niche sport. It doesn't, come down to the free throw. It's just what do the judges like that day, honestly?
Well, tell us a little bit about your personal favorite. Did you have a floor routine that maybe, I mean, maybe ASU? I don't know. Maybe that might have been my favorite watching you guys when you stuck your floor routine at ASU. That was pretty lit.
That was another like just amazing highlight of the year was being able to go and beat ASU at ASU. That's something I don't want to like spit out the wrong facts, but we haven't done that in a long time, or at least like in my 3 years so far here. And so just being able to do that was, I'll never forget that bus ride back. That was a lot of fun, but that floor routine there was pretty cool. It's always good to do a good routine, at ASU, beat ASU. So good vibes for sure. I'll never forget that meet also.
Kind of simple question, but what is your favorite thing about being a gymnast? Obviously, being a gym cat as well, but just your sport. Like you said, it's so niche, it's so unique. I mean, I'll plug your sport. If you haven't watched gymnastics, it is electric. The music is great. You guys are some of the best, if not the best athletes on campus. You guys are doing amazing things
Thank
that
you.
I can't even dream about doing. Whenever I watch you, I'm just constantly in awe. So, what is it about being a gymnast that you love?
I love how artistic the sport is. Everyone kind of has their own style. Like whether you're a super powerful gymnast or you're just super flexible and you just have like the most gorgeous lines and leaps. Like everyone really brings something different to the table. And so I think I just love how versatile it is for everyone, and just how artistic the sport is.
Are you going to be a senior?
Yes.
Can you believe that? Has that set in?
You know, I feel like I felt it more after my sophomore year. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm already halfway done. Like, this, I'm like, we're on the downhill now. Like, this is really scary. And so I feel like I was kind of sad throughout my junior year because I was like, oh my gosh, it's just like it's coming. But now that it's here, I'm like, it's time to just embrace it. Like, it's the last one. I think I'm sad, obviously, but I'm super excited for this year just to give it my absolute all. Like, I've been doing this sport since I was 3. I'm 21 now. So just, it's been a part of my life forever. And I'm really excited to just give it all I got for one more year.
That's such a good perspective. I love to hear that. Obviously, it's the summer right now.
Thank
Summer's, summer is summer. But I feel like gymnastics is probably a sport where you can't afford to take a ton of time off. So tell us what your workouts are looking like right now. How do you keep yourself motivated? How do you stay in the gym, but also balance, that mental space to have a summer so that way you feel recharged and ready to go. Once you get back fully on campus and fully in workouts, in August and September.
you. Yeah, for sure. You definitely have to recharge a little bit over the summer just because when we do get back to campus in August, it's honestly, it's go time from the start of the school year to the end. But I would say like when season ends, that's the most relaxed it'll probably be. That's the time we get to kind of step away from the gym and focus on more of the recovery piece, focusing a lot more on the weight room just between now and even I would say until October, it's just important to build as much strength as we can right now. But you know, this is the time of year you get to kind of play around a little bit, try new skills. Yeah, it's a little bit more relaxed right now for sure.
That's awesome. Well, do you have any fun plans this summer?
I will be working a lot. So maybe just
A
to
working
like
woman.
paint the picture for the day today, but I woke up and I'm doing two internships. I worked my first internship that's remote from about 8 to 12, and then and that's for a nonprofit organization called Athletes for Hope. So I'm super excited about that one. And then after that, I went to practice really quick. Kind of hardly got to practice today, and then I went to the weight room. And then I went off to my next internship, which is through our athletic department, and it's with Arizona Sports Enterprises. So it's more of a heavy workload right now for work
Okay.
rather than my sport.
Got
So we're kind of flip-flopping a little bit.
it. What is your major? Remind us.
My major is nutritional sciences. I came to school wanting to go into the medical field, and I absolutely love my major. I think it really supports the holistic approach to health and well-being while also focusing on medicine. But through my roles with SAC, I've really become interested in athletic administration and that world. So I'm kind of dipping my toe in the water this summer, trying something a little bit different, obviously with the athletic related internships. But hopefully after this summer, I have a little bit of a better idea.
Well, it's what it's all about. You don't have to have it figured out as soon as you graduate. But whatever you choose, you're going to be successful. You are a total
Thank
superstar.
you.
And thank you so much for joining us on Wildcat Wednesday.
Thank you so much, Kenzie.
For the first time in the Chip Hale era, Arizona baseball is headed to a super regional. We're checking in with outfielders Aaron Walton and Brendan Summerhill now.
Brendan and Aaron, thank you guys for joining us today. You guys are fresh off sweeping the Eugene Regional and are now headed to super regionals. What were the emotions like Sunday?
We were really excited. I think it was, really fun. Great atmosphere up in Eugene, and the job's not done. So that was kind of the mentality after the game. But yeah, we were really excited to get the regional win.
Yeah, absolutely. We were super excited, super proud of everybody, and it's just we're gonna keep going, and we're excited for this weekend as well.
Yeah, you mentioned job's not done, and that was something Coach Hale mentioned after the Big 12 tournament that said there was just a different feeling, especially compared to the Pac-12 tournament, that yeah, there's the dog pile, there's the celebration, but there's also this sense of like, okay, we have more. Was that kind of a mentality you guys had headed into the weekend? Brendan, I'll start with you, just since you experienced both those seasons.
Yeah, for sure. I think having the Pac-12 experience last year kind of like helps us, and it really gives you that experience that, you know, you don't really get if you don't go through it. But yeah, I think having done it before, it really helps us going into the Big 12 tournament and the regional, because, you know, we know what this team's capable of.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the message has been consistent just throughout the year, just even when we got here in the fall, and it's just we have a special group, and we're excited to see, you know, how far we can take this thing.
I'd say, like, yeah, like, our preseason expectation was Omaha, and so, like that hasn't changed.
You guys seem like you're just having fun right now watching you guys. I know you guys get a lot of questions about the bananas and everything going on in the dugout, but what's going on in the pregame circle? What's the deal with that?
So I think it was Saturday at Houston, second game. TJ kind of started bringing out like a toy vehicle, whether it's a car, helicopter. I think we had a fire truck. I think we've had a submarine, like, and the player of the game gets it, and it gives us all something to, like, you know, extra to play for, and it makes it fun, and it makes us feel like kids again, so it's fun.
Have either of you got player of the game yet?
I think Walt.
Walt, yeah, what vehicle did you get?
I got a helicopter last
game.
It's awesome. Like I said, we feel like kids out there. It's awesome. It's so much fun, and just everybody's smiling and laughing, and, like, we're excited to see what's the car today?
What's the toy?
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's so fun. And especially Saturday's and Sunday's game, that was so much fun to watch, so I'm sure it was even more fun to be a part of. Did you guys know that you were approaching the program record for home runs in a single game?
I had no clue, because, I mean, obviously there's been some pretty good ball players that have come through here. I thought the record was like 12 or 13. I think we just kept hitting them, and I lost count at some point. Mason had like three, and I felt like everyone was hitting one this weekend. So it was good. It was fun. I had no clue. And I think Brett told us after the game, it was like, that's pretty cool. That's really cool.
Yeah. Did you hear anything, Aaron?
I didn't know. I didn't know what the record was either, but I knew we were hitting a lot of them. So it's always fun hitting home runs. So it's, and when the whole lineup is doing it, that's pretty sweet.
Yeah, is it almost contagious?
Absolutely.
When it's happening like that?
Oh, absolutely. I think hitting is super contagious.
100%. And, I mean, yeah, like, I think you've seen it a lot this year. Like, one guy gets going and the whole lineup will just, you know, start hitting. So it's really contagious.
Yeah, how do you guys stay dialed in, though, when you approach the plate and you guys are hitting them left and right out of the park?
Just keeping our same approaches. I think it's been, you know, with a long year, you can really get honed in on one thing now and super focused. Pitchers pitch you kind of the same way. So it's, you can be really focused kind of to your plan. And, you know, when they attack you and you get a pitch you can hit, we just swing. And I think we got, I mean, obviously 8 homers. There's obviously a little luck in there because that's baseball. But, yeah.
And then Aaron, I mean, 3 Sunday, what was your approach?
Yeah, just hitting the ball hard, just swinging at the right pitches. Like Summer said, like, I feel like any baseball player will tell you, if you're trying to hit a home run, you're never going to hit a home run. So it's like, you just got to stick to the same approach that you have and not try to do too much and just hit the ball hard and pass it to the next guy. But, yeah, it was great.
Do you guys ever check Twitter afterwards and see the tweets that Brett Gleason, Director of Baseball Communications and Information Services, is putting out? Because, I mean, he's been on a tear this season, and some of the captions have been iconic. Do you guys read those?
Yeah, people send them to me all the time. It's, I mean, he does a great job. I don't know how he comes up with everything. He's super, super creative with it. It's hilarious.
Do any stick out to you?
Yeah. I mean, all the Walton ones are funny. Like, I think, wow, there was one Maddox had, or Tommy, it was like, we bring the boom to Eugene. Yeah, that was funny because, like, I'm not coming up with that. Maddox has had some funny ones. He came up with Summer Throw, which is really stuck kind of in the clubhouse.
You think he tease it?
I think we need him on the podcast, like, honestly, for his thought.
I think
process.
I need to know is,
doesn't ChatGPT,
seriously.
Does Gleason ChatGPT his captions?
That's the headline.
I gave it a 50-50 shot, for sure.
My theory is he has a notes app and he's just constantly thinking of stuff, like in the shower has to like write it down. A list going. I don't know. We'll have him on the podcast next.
I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. I'm gonna say he's not ChatGPT.
I think he's got a creative mind.
Yeah, it's just what he does. He probably has a notes app. Yeah, he's probably just copy and paste, right?
He's good at what he does. I think that's the bottom line.
That's right.
Yeah, no, like I said, he's been on a tear. Have you dialed 1-800-BIG-WALT yet?
No.
I called it on Sunday and it rang 3 times and then Walton hit 3 homers. So I think it was something like that.
Okay, so you guys are headed to Chapel Hill now. What's the message among the team as you guys dial in for those games?
I mean, same thing. Like, we've been playing good ball, keep it loose, have fun, job's not done. Like, it's gonna be a crazy atmosphere. UNC's extremely talented. I think we feel great about our roster and what we got. So just, keep doing what we're doing. And if they beat us, they beat us. But we feel really good about, when we're playing our game, I feel like we can beat anyone in the country.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I think we're playing great ball right now, so we'll see how it goes. It'll be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah, and then I wanted to end off just get to know the roster, the team a little bit better. So I was going to ask some questions of who's most likely to, or like who would you pick for this category. So out of everyone on the team, who's most likely to lose their phone?
Yeah, Carson Johnson.
He beat me to it. Carson Johnson.
Okay, who's most likely to join a cult?
You get like a sneaky
Julian Tonghini.
Like a health trend cult. Yeah, yeah, like a
maybe. Yeah, Hunter.
One of the Eni brothers, Julian or Hunter, yeah.
Okay, that was that call. That kind of goes with my next question, like who is the healthiest guy on the team?
Yeah. Well, they just have that lifestyle, like the
Adonis Guzman.
Yeah.
Adonis Guzman.
Just kidding.
Julian or Hunter.
Yeah, I would agree with that same.
Who on the team would you let date your future daughter?
I want to say Brick, but...
Matthew Martinez.
That's a good one.
Mason White.
Who on the team gives the best advice?
If coaches are included, Trip Couch. It's always good advice.
Yeah, it's always... I mean, that's...
Anytime he's talking...
Anytime he's talking,
ears are open and consuming any words that he's saying.
That's right. It's not many words, but when he speaks,
few
it's,
and far between,
it's real stuff. Mm-hmm.
Nuggets of wisdom. Okay. And then last one, who on the team's most likely to be TikTok famous?
Mason Russell, yeah. Tyler Russell, Cade Thompson. Because yeah, I think they were in high school.
TikTok famous,
the Sway
Boys. Yeah, here you go.
All right, we'll have to look that up. Well, thank you guys so much for being on the podcast today, and best of luck as you guys head out.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
That concludes this week's episode. Thank you for listening to Wildcat Wednesday on the Bear Down Podcast. Bear Down and go Cats.